Welcome to the Smart Franchisee, episode 22.
The franchise world also allows you to have structure by which you can put together that business without having to recreate the wheel, so to speak. So there was an existing infrastructure that was attractive to us in the franchise world.
You're listening to the Smart Franchisee. If you're here to learn about which franchise is right for you, you're in the right place. We ask the questions and you get all the answers. Real franchisees share real experiences. Stay tuned so you too can quit your 9-to-5 and buy a franchise. Hey, Smart Franchisee family, it's Jessica. Today on the Smart Franchisee, I have Arnie and Jenna Sadin, successful YourPi franchisees. I had a great time chatting with them about their experience being in business with their kids, how they chose YourPi franchise, and some of the lessons they learned as new franchisees. If you haven't already, connect with me on social media. You can find me at The Smart Franchisee. Now let's get to today's episode. Arnie and Jenna, welcome to The Smart Franchisee. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Thanks for having us.
I'm so excited to have you on, first and foremost, because I love having couples on. I think couples in business, it's amazing. I'm in business with my husband. I hate him, but it works out well. You know, sometimes you got to hate your business partner, and that's okay. But it's great that you guys are in business together. It'll give us a great perspective, both perspectives, on what it's like to be a franchisee with YourPi. But before we get into all the franchising stuff, we'd love to learn a little bit more about you. So if you wouldn't mind briefly giving us an introduction into who Arnie and Jenna are and what you were doing before you got into the franchise world.
Sure. I'll start if that's okay. Jenna and I actually have been married as long as we've worked together. We've been married almost 29 years, and we've worked together for nearly all of that period of time in our past. So this endeavor is not a new union of us as business partners as well as life partners. So we definitely learned over the years how to be good business partners on top of being married. So briefly, we spent most of our career in the special event business and special event industry, and we basically own rental stores that do equipment for special events, such as tents, tables, chairs, china, glassware, that kind of thing. So we would rent equipment and actually set up the equipment for special events, such as weddings or concerts or festivals, things of that nature. We were partnered in those businesses with a couple of other people, and so we were business owners at that time. Those businesses were not franchised. They were they were independently owned by us and our business partners. And during that period of time, we both kind of wore several different hats. For me, I was more of a operations/salesperson. And Jenna, you can describe your...
I was more on the bookkeeping and I was more operational and took care of the accounting type work.
So we did have to work together, on a daily basis to make those businesses float, both operationally speaking and sales speaking and financial speaking. So we kind of got all sides of that, of running a business during our years doing that. And it was probably 25 years or so that we were together working in that industry. So we did have a lot of business experience in regard to running a healthy business, just from a bookkeeping standpoint, and we're very familiar with how to read P&Ls and how to adjust P&Ls adjust what you're doing within the P&L to be successful and profitable. So we had that going for us before we started. Before we started in the franchise world. We did have the opportunity 3 years ago, our partners and I had the opportunity to sell our businesses, and we did so a few years ago. And that led us to a point in our lives where we decided that it was time to start a new career. And that is kind of where we went in the direction of the franchise.
So I love that you had experience together owning and operating your own business, because, and you probably, as we talk about it, you'll share your experiences, but owning and operating your own business without having a system or somebody to support you is a lot of hard work. I think people don't realize what it takes to run your own business independently of a franchise. It is not easy at all, right? You're going to be making mistakes that maybe you shouldn't have made, right? Because you're learning and you're trying to figure out how to make this business work. After you sold your special event business, what made you guys decide that franchising was the right option, or was that not even on the radar and that just happened?
Well, there was a couple of different reasons for that. One, we felt like from an economic standpoint, it was an easier way and a more affordable way for us to get into being independent and having our own independence with business. And the franchise world also allows you to have structure by which you can put together that business without having to recreate the wheel, so to speak. So there was an existing infrastructure that was attractive to us in the franchise world. We came from a business that had been operating for 20 plus years, and we had systems in place in that business to where it was clockwork every day. Everyone knew what they were doing. The system was in place. We flowed along, and we were able to manage that business because the systems were in place. This allowed us to pretty much be able to continue doing business the same way because those systems are already set up within the franchise world, and that was very appealing to us.
Absolutely. So I like that you said you decided to franchise because it was a more affordable way to get independence in a business without having to recreate the wheel, right? Like it allows you that opportunity to get yourself set up. Walk us through your franchising journey. Coming from the industry you came to and going into your pie, not that they aren't, too different. I feel like you're still catering to customers like most businesses do, but you're now in like a restaurant type food business. It's a bit different. What made you decide to go that route? And what was your process like going through the franchise world? Did you look at a few different options, or were you set on your pie from day one?
Yeah, we did. We went sought out help to look at all different kinds of franchises because we were starting with a blank slate. So we looked at probably two or three more seriously than others that we were told about. And when we heard about Your Pie, they were local, close to us in Athens, Georgia. And so that one was one of the easier ones for us to look at and to get information from and to meet them and spend time with them.
Secondly, in regard to that, and something that we haven't discussed to this point, is this is further than our business is further than just Jenna and I. Our three children are also involved in the business, and they had a very large part in our decision process when we looked at franchises. All three of our kids at the time that we were looking to start this were working in the food service industry. So having the ability to be able to start a business and include them in it, the idea that they were already in the food service business and our daughter, our oldest daughter, who is our GM, was a GM at a pizza restaurant already. So that kind of focused us in on a particular type of franchise. And as Jenna said, the thing that we liked about the Your Pie franchise initially was the fact that it was a local group from the franchise standpoint. They were a local group of people who we could access very well. And there were a number of franchises around the state of Georgia that we could go visit and talk to and explore before we made our decision on what we were doing there. But our children were a very big part of our decision to go towards the pizza franchise.
I love that. I love that you included your entire family. I think sometimes business owners don't have the opportunity to have their children as involved in their business, maybe because their children are very young, or, you know, they're off in college, or, you know, they have a completely different line of career. I love that you said your daughter was already a GM at another pizza place, and that's kind of what was the big decision-making factor. When including your children in this decision, walk us through, what were some of the criteria you guys had when selecting a franchise, and how your pie fit really well into that decision?
Yeah, that's pretty simple for us, because generally speaking, your pie is very supportive of local communities. And one of the things that we really enjoyed about the franchise itself was that from the very beginning in talking with this franchise, they told us that they wanted us to live in the community that we were starting the business in and be involved in the community that we were starting the business in. Our children still live in this community as well. So we're all a family that lives within the same city where we started our first location. And those things were really important to us as a family who has lived in this area for 20 plus years, that we be able to start a business within our local area. So from a franchise standpoint, they almost push that to give you that ability to be part of your community and to kind of trademark your store as the Canton location of your pie pizza. So those things really grabbed us right off the bat from a franchise support standpoint.
Excellent. So let's start from kind of the beginning of how you discovered your pie and how you kind of move forward. So walk us through maybe if you attended a discovery day or not, and then how you led up to getting your first location, and then where you are today in terms of number of locations.
We just for starters, we are one location right now. We do have a lease signed on a second location, which will likely be open in the spring of 2020. So next spring, we will open our second location. And then we've also signed on for a third location as well, which will open approximately a year after that. Same general area of our state we are in right now. So we feel like we'll have some branding opportunities between the three locations, or close enough to where we can kind of share some things there. But in regard to the process, we did go to a franchise discovery day. And again, one of the things that appealed to us about that, and one of the things that grabbed us during that period of time, was we got into a van with several people from the corporate EurPie in Athens. And of those people, the CEO was in the van, the CFO was in the van, Our franchise representative, who we had reached out to from the beginning, was in the van. They had marketing people in the van. I mean, they had a real solid core of people there that said, hey, we want you to be part of our family. And they grabbed us right off the bat. You know, to think that the franchise spent that much time with that group of people to not only try to woo us to this brand, but to actually be able to answer questions from the top down was tremendous for us. And we also, toured three or four stores with them at that time and shared stories and got to know one another. And it just really meant a lot to us that the franchise itself would think that far ahead to have that group of people there to help us make that decision.
Absolutely. What a great process. I love that you talked about the discovery day was an opportunity for you to not only ask questions, but to get to speak to a plethora of people from the corporate office, which I think is really important. As a franchisee, your relationship with the franchisor is of utmost importance, as well as the relationship with other franchisees. But you need to know you have that support from the franchisor side and that your personalities get along. So that's really great. You said the CEO, the CFO, your franchise rep, marketing people, like a whole bunch of people were there to listen and answer questions for you to talk to when you went and visited other locations to make sure it was the right fit for you and vice versa for them. So that's awesome. Now, Arnie, I know you said you have one location right now. You have a second location already signed for the spring of 2020, and you have a third location opening the year after that. Did you purchase all three of these territories at one time, or did you just purchase one in the beginning?
No, we purchased all three at one time, and franchise made that attractive because we got a reduction in our franchise fee on the subsequent second and third stores by signing three at one time.
Okay. So now let's talk about, when did you open your first location? How long has that been open for?
We opened January 25th of this year, so we were right at about the six-month mark.
Okay, so 6 months into business, you probably have a really good idea of what's going on. Obviously, there's still probably a lot to learn as new business owners with YourPie, not new business owners in general, but with YourPie. You have your kids involved in the business as well. Walk us through what that's like. How did you guys get your business up and running and utilize everyone in your family to put them in the right positions for success?
Well, and that's an interesting story. Obviously, separating family from business is a very difficult thing to do. We were fortunate, my wife and I were fortunate, Jen and I were fortunate throughout our career to have the ability to understand what it means to be working with family. And there are ups and downs to that. And so we had a knowledge going into it before then, but our children had never worked for us before. You know, they had seen us work together for many years. So they had some knowledge of how that goes. And it's not always an easy task. But, you know, one of the big challenges was now trying to separate the fact that we were mom and dad away from the fact that we are now boss. And there is a definite separation between the two, because bleeding too much family and too much family emotion into a business is certainly not good for the business. So that has been an adjustment that the kids, more so than us, have had to make over the last 6 months, and they have. That's been one of the challenges early on, was to put our kids into a position where they could become authority in the restaurant, but at the same time also learn what we're doing here through the processes that they have in place, and learn how to run a business from both Jenna and I. So those challenges, we tackled those challenges over the first few months of business, and surrounded ourselves with a group of kids that work with us here that we kind of treat it all as family together. And the other part of that too, with our kids, and something that I feel very strongly about, and that is sweat equity in the business. You know, our kids certainly are grandfathered into the ownership of this business because they are our kids. But at the same time, you know, we've really had to push hard with them to understand that involves sweat equity, which means you have to come in and learn every single thing about this business from the bottom up, so that the people that are working for us know that we're working with them, not them working for us.
I love that. I love how you talk about making sure that they know the sweat equity. And that's really important. I know in the beginning, when you start a business, obviously, you know, money is a big factor and you're investing a lot of time, but you also have to invest a lot of energy and effort, and people don't realize the value of sweat equity in any business, right? And I love that you said you have to make sure your kids understand the value of that, so that they know, you know, I obviously it's so that they learn everything about the business and they have a respect for each position. And as they move forward, they'll learn the right people to hire and the right person to look for as they, you know, start to take over a little bit. So that's very cool. I love that you talk about that. Now, getting a business up and running takes a little bit of time. Let's talk about some of the things you did during your ramp up process prior to opening to market your YourPie.
Marketing has, well, first off, we're fortunate because our oldest daughter, who is our GM, also has a degree in marketing. So we had a little bit of a built-in millennial point of view on marketing the business, which is beneficial to us because a good portion of our guests are millennials. There's a percentage of our guests that are millennials. Having said that, what we have found, and we're continuing to toy around with the whole marketing plan, but what we found from the very beginning was that the social media side of marketing was the quickest, easiest, most hard-hitting way that we could make an initial impact on the marketing in this area right off the bat. Fortunately, again, our daughter had graduated 3 or 4 years ago from college with a marketing degree. So that is a major emphasis in most marketing plans right now, clearly, is the social media side of marketing. And so that was a big emphasis for her as well. And we've been very lucky to have her to be able to manage that as we started this process. Clearly also the franchise and their support from a marketing standpoint, there are, again, you know, these guys have done more than one store, so they understand general marketing plans for these stores, and we've been able to combine what support we've gotten from our franchise with what we do on a local level to start out with a great marketing plan and what we believe to be a good plan moving forward.
Excellent. So social media, you said, was a big aspect to marketing your business and getting people in the door. How did your grand opening go? And did it help set you guys up, or were there some learning curves still in there?
I mean, there's big learning curves in regard to running a restaurant versus what we've done in the past. We, you know, the restaurant is such a fast-paced environment, and it's a hard-hitting environment, i.e. the rush of people to come through the door at any given hour of the day. So the pace certainly is something that we had to learn. In regard to grand opening, you know, we did a lot of marketing for our grand opening. We were able to do a fundraising event that centered around our soft opening, and we were able to pick a local cause that we benefited to our grand opening. It was our soft opening, really, which was directly before our grand opening, and we had as much business as we possibly could run through this restaurant during that period of time. So we were able to figure out, you know, first off, this is the maximum number of people we can run through this business, and this is what it's going to be like when we are busy in this restaurant. So I think from the very beginning with the grand opening and the way that the franchise has laid down the rules for grand opening, the guidelines for grand opening, it really woke our staff up to think, okay, this is how it's going to be when business is at its most critical and when it's busiest.
Awesome. So just so that I understand, is that the dine and donate concept that your pie pushes in marketing?
That's correct.
Okay. So for our listeners out there that maybe don't know or haven't listened to some previous episodes for your pie, the dine and donate is, and please, Arnie, correct me if I'm wrong, you donate. So people come in and they donate. They get a free pizza. They get to eat for free, but they donate money to a local charity. So you're getting to practice customer service, how to run your kitchen, things that can go wrong, while giving back to a local charity, which is obviously great publicity and amazing media, right? So it's an investment because you're giving away a lot of free food, but it's great practice. Is that kind of how the dine and donate works?
It is, and through our advertising, through our marketing, and through the charity that we chose, you know, they were also able to secure a number of people who care about that particular organization, this area. They certainly were able to secure a list of attendees for that function as well. So we worked kind of together with the charity to make that happen. But certainly from a business standpoint, it did enable us to be able to really get our staff trained right quickly with a heavy amount of volume over a very short 3-day period of time during that period. And we were, you know, it was heartwarming to see the local community come out to support that as well. We were able to raise a lot of money for the local charity, which is a popular charity in this area, and they do a lot of good things for our community. But it was nice to see the community come out and do that. And that does, like you said, it is a twofold. It is a twofold thing for us as a business, because we were able not only to train our staff and get our staff trained in some pretty heavy conditions, but also to give back to the community, which is as good a community relations plug as we can get in any way.
Absolutely. I love that as a marketing tool, because it's a fun way to get the community involved. And I really love that you mentioned that the charity has, charities have a large bank of people that are always willing to do anything to support. They come to events. They're very active. So when they can call on those people to come and visit your location, not only are you getting new or potential customers in the door, but you're also helping. So it's just a win-win situation. And I love that that's how YourPie recommends that you execute a soft opening. And that probably set you up for success in your grand opening. So very cool. Now, Arnie, if we can get into a little bit more, or maybe even Jenna, since she's more of the accounting person, into a little bit of the financials of this business. All in for your first location, could you tell us how much you invested to get it up and running with the construction and everything going?
I would say that we were in for close to $500,000, all said and done, with including the marketing, everything we needed for the restaurant, for our opening, all of the equipment.
Yeah, and I think that, just to back up what Jenna's saying there is that, that's a number probably that we didn't anticipate it being that high when we initially looked at this process. We found that as we personalized the restaurant and as we began to put this thing together before we opened, hey, there's other things that we need to do in here that aren't necessarily part of the framework that was originally put into this. The personalization of the store is something that you don't figure into that. So that's something, when we sat down and rebudgeted after we had finished putting the store together, we're like, well, we certainly exceeded what we thought we were going to exceed on that to begin with. But those were things that we'll know moving forward that we have to plan for. But there's a lot of things out there as we move through the process that we learned we needed as we went forward.
Could you, Arnie, name some of those things just for our listeners out there? Like, when you buy a franchise, you just assume like, okay, you need like this signage, this flooring, this type of kitchen, this equipment, and you're kind of done. When you talk about personalization, what do you mean? Like, what are some of the things that you could need?
Right. So we're a local restaurant and we want to feel like a local restaurant. We are a franchise and we do have a branding with that franchise, which are the things you spoke of with the menu boards and the YourPie story and the things that go along with branding your product as a YourPie product. But the personalization part of it to me is saying this is a Canton business. So we went out and took some photos or had some photos taken of iconic spots in Canton, Georgia, so that we could put those pictures on our wall and make it feel like a Canton location. We had a very large marquee type sign that just simply said the word Canton on it in bright lights that sits above our queue line that was something that we added to the restaurant because we wanted it to feel more like a Canton restaurant. The other things that I would tell you that were things that we had to decide on and that we decided on late were the exterior signage on the restaurant. When we originally looked at the building, we thought, yeah, we'll have a sign on the front of the building, a lit sign on the front of the building that says YourPie. What we didn't anticipate was the fact that we had a very long side of our building. We're on an end cap of the building. We had a very long side of our building, which was basically a free billboard. And so we decided at that time that, hey, let's put a big YourPie Canton sign on the side of our building, very visible from the highway that runs in front of us. And so that was an extra sign that we didn't really anticipate needing right off the bat. Other things that I would say fit into that same category would be things like security cameras. There's certainly a budget that you can put towards what you're going to do for security cameras, but when you start looking at security cameras, you realize pretty quickly that you can buy cheap security cameras or you can get security cameras that actually work. And those are more expensive, perhaps, than you budgeted for. Alarm systems for your building. What type of music, what kind of music system are you going to have in your building? Are you going to buy cheap speakers? Or are you going to buy more expensive speakers for your building? These are things all that we really learned as we were moving forward through the process. And we were like, well, that's not really what we planned budget-wise, but if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. We want the music to sound right. We want the alarm system to do the things that we want to do to be able to maintain the security of our building. And we want cameras that will actually record data and have high definition to be able to see exactly what's going on when it's going on. So there are options that you can choose higher end things over what you originally budgeted for, which I would consider all personalization in your store. Those are things we learned as we went through the process.
Gotcha. So it was an investment. So it's not like you guys just splurged and went over budget. That's why I wanted to kind of get an idea when you're saying, you know, there's things you didn't anticipate. I like that you talked about, you know, personalizing your store so that it felt like, you know, Canton or your local city, right? So your local, your pie. You know, the exterior signage on the side of your building, that's a great marketing tool and an investment in making sure people, you know that your business is there. So cool. That's good to know that wasn't exactly what you were expecting, but these are things that you invested in to make sure your business runs better and is more profitable.
That's correct.
Jenna, could we talk about how you were able to secure financing? Was this, you know, I know you guys mentioned you sold a business, so there's probably some liquidity there that you had some ability to invest in your business. But did you go through like SBA loans, like a personal line of credit, or does your pie finance?
We went through our bank and did an SBA loan. And then we also used some of our line of credit for the balance of what we needed to spend to get open.
How difficult was it for you guys to get an SBA loan? Obviously, as business owners, I feel like it might have been a little easier, but it was your first time running a restaurant. Were there like hoops that you had to jump through, or was it a seamless process?
There's a lot of information that was required for it, and YourPie really did help us a lot with the things that we weren't that familiar with because it was related to the restaurant business. So they, any questions, any help that we needed, they helped us a lot to get everything that the SBA loan required.
We were fortunate also because we did have some liquidity that we, and that was the primary reason that we decided to go through our bank to obtain the SBA loan, because the bank certainly has all of our personal finances and can look at that and know that that is security for them to be able to help us obtain that SBA loan.
Excellent. So we're about 500K in. We have an SBA loan and a line of credit that you were able to obtain to get your business up and running. 6 months in, are you guys in the black yet, or is it going to take a little longer?
No, I would tell you that we're in the black. What's going to take a little longer is to be more in the black. We've been fortunate to start off with the right amount of revenue, given the size of our store and given the expenses to support the size of the store. We've been fortunate to start off with the right amount of revenue to be able to be in the black every month. Now that doesn't mean that we're in a position at this point where we want to be. Certainly we continually look at our P&L every month and continually try to tweak the expenses that we have to be able to streamline what we're doing and be more in the black. But secondly, it gives us the goals that we need to set forth for ourselves from a revenue standpoint. And that is the top line, because as you know, as a business owner, the top line drives pretty much everything. So, you know, if you've got good top line, then you're probably going to have good bottom line, as long as you manage your business well. So, you know, it's really focused us in on the fact that we know what kind of revenue we need to do here to really affect how much in the black we're going to be. And that is a process of time on that. You know, we've got a staff now that's 6 months in, where we've got people that are more trained to do what they're doing than they were 2 months in or 1 month in or last week. So, I mean, I think the staff learns more every day and we're able to streamline that a little bit better as we've gone forward. So, but we have been fortunate, from the beginning to have the amount of revenue that we need to be at least in the black from the beginning.
Okay, great. So, you know, and I love that you say that. So 6 months you're in the black. Obviously, when we talk about like profitability and what we really want to take home as business owners, we know, you know, 6 cents to a year, maybe even a year and a half in, it takes a long time to really be making money out of a business. And that's because you're constantly investing. And I love that you guys talk about that you're looking at your P&L every month to see what's going on. as a new business owner, I'm assuming, and just as having newer staff, I'm assuming payroll was probably a huge expense the first couple of months because, you know, everyone's learning and so everyone's a little bit slower at things. But what are some of the things that you look at in the P&L to tweak it and make your business a little bit more profitable?
For us, the biggest expenses are food costs and labor. So as people get trained and they become more confident in their positions, then they we don't have to overstaff. Our first few months, we definitely overstaffed a little bit to be safe with our shift and make sure that our customers were being taken care of. And then also with the food ordering, we were maybe ordering a little bit more than we should have just to make sure we didn't run out of anything. So those are the things that we can look at now and cut back as we see, you know, as we see fit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I would say this, those two things clearly always are the most dominant part of your P&L when you look at it and you look at percentages. Those are the highest percentages of things that you're going to spend money on. So those are the easiest places to try to be more efficient. But again, you know, I think being 6 months in now, we are starting to look at some of the other things that are on our P&L, some of the things that that don't change as much, but it can at least give you some change in your bottom line. And that's stuff like, you know, is there a better option for your cable and your network? Is there a better option for your rugs and your aprons and your rags and your bathroom supplies? Are there better options where you can start to fine tune those things a little bit and again be more efficient? So being 6 months in, we're starting now to at least expand outside of the labor and the food costs to those things too.
Absolutely. So I love that those are the two. So good for all of our listeners to know that, you know, obviously in the food business, food cost is a huge part of your expense. And then labor, and you can fine tune those as you start to learn more about the business. I mean, it's very true. Obviously in the beginning with food, I mean, I would probably go nuts just ordering a whole bunch extra just for the fear that like I'm going to run out and I just have so many more people on staff just because I didn't know how many people I was going to serve. Right. So those are things you learn over time, and you guys said you're fine tuning them. If we could talk a little bit about your location, I know for a food business, you need to be in an excellent location with great visibility, good accessibility. There's a lot of factors that go into making a food or restaurant, a food business or a restaurant successful. We know that for sure. Now, having already one open and knowing, you know, kind of what it's like, do you guys have things you're going to look for differently in your second location? And if so, what are they? And what I'm trying to get at is, do you feel like there is a way to kind of control your rent a little bit more? Do you need to be in that specific type of location? Or what have you learned so far?
Yeah, well, first off, I would say that, and this would be my advice in regard to other franchisees or new franchisees too, is to utilize the resources that your franchise offers. Our franchise offered us a real estate help. In other words, we had a guy assigned to us who worked for franchise. He contracted through franchise, but he's a real estate guy. He understands the local area, understands what's being built around this area. He understands the demographics of the area. He understands these things. And we did work with a real estate agent in regard to that from a commercial property standpoint. So I would utilize that to begin with. But from a standpoint of our own understanding of where we're at, we actually, it was funny because we rode around our area. This is our hometown. And we rode around our area looking at potential spots before we ever met with the real estate agent. And he took us right to the spots that we went and identified pretty quickly on our own. So I think that from a franchise standpoint, some of the important things behind location are obviously foot traffic, obviously traffic, driving traffic, obviously proximity to shopping, proximity to residential areas. There's a number of factors that go into the decision, and potentially if it's possible to to go into a new development. And so you come from the ground up. You come from a spot where it maybe isn't totally established, but will become established as it moves forward. Also, I think it's important to note too, in regard to location, is that most people, you know, a lot of people, and us included, if we're looking for food, we tend to go to our devices to look for food. We'll tend to go to our maps or Yelp or somewhere else to look for food. So a lot of times they'll come find you because they found you over, you know, on the map program or on a Yelp program or some other social media. So location is absolutely important to have people have accessibility, you know, to be accessible to a good number of people. But you have to also realize you need to be, you know, you need to be present on Yelp and present on Google and present on map programs so that you, because many of your guests will find you that way.
I love that you mentioned that. So absolutely. So location is key, right? But you can have the best location and the best space, but we all know, and just like you said, I mean, when I'm choosing something to eat, if I'm, you know, new in the area or even just for the area that I live in, sometimes my husband and I decide we want to try something different. We obviously go on Yelp or Google or whatever, and we're looking for a location that has good reviews. So being present online is really important. So since you've hinted at that, if I can ask you, what are some of the things you guys do to make sure you have a good presence online, you know, 6 months in? What are you guys doing to make sure you're relevant and you're able to get those searches or those views on Yelp and Google?
Well, you need traffic, clearly. I mean, the sites, you know, where you get most traffic are clear, but that traffic that you get there needs to be, you know, you need hits, basically. You need people coming to find you. So to do that, you have to, like you said, you have to be relevant almost on a daily basis, and that requires some type of a marketing plan, you know, whether it be through social media or Google or Yelp or whatever it is. You need to be constantly updating what you're doing, even if it seems like the silliest of things. It needs to be something that puts your name and your brand and your location in front of someone else. We go back to our fundraising, and we still do fundraising now. And as a franchise owner, you'll figure out pretty quickly that everybody wants you to fundraise for them when you open your doors. But we're still smart about the things that we do there, and we do have benefit nights whereby that draws attention to us. We did start a trivia night. We've gone to a pint night whereby we sell draft beers for a reduced rate on a certain night of the week. So all those things together kind of give you an opportunity to be able to go out and touch, you know, a larger population, but doing it on a consistent basis whereby you're not forgotten for any longer period of time. You always want to have at least something out there that's new and fresh and you can move forward with. You can also key on holidays. You can key on local, you know, local sports teams, local schools, things of that nature, just to try to stay relevant. But it is a daily thing that should be thought about, a daily plan that you should go throughout the week and continue to try to be relevant via all of those categories.
Yeah, those are great. I love those ideas that you guys are doing to stay relevant, like trivia night, the pint night, which I would definitely come to every time you had, in a charity night. Those are really cool things. You want to constantly make sure you're getting involved. And like you said, you know, initially when we were speaking about Your Pie, you said the biggest thing that sold you on Your Pie was they want you to be involved in the community. And so everything you're saying is all community involvement, getting people involved that live in that area to you know, come to your restaurant on a weekly, you know, basis or a couple times a week as part of their socialization. You know, you get involved with schools and charities and all that good stuff. So that really does, you know, a lot to help build a social media presence because people are constantly like tweeting or Instagramming or whatever people do these days, right, with their phones and getting stuff on social media. So very interesting.
Well, I think too, I mean, just to further that, just one step further is that one of the things that we've had success with as well is showing ourselves as a family of people who are a local family of people who live in this community and do love this community. But we are a local group, and we are here. We're present. You know, in some fashion, somebody from our family is here every hour of every day. And so we really kind of try to play up on that whole family idea, and it creates a family idea not only with the kids that are ours, but with our new kids, who are kids that work for us now and are part of our family, and that kind of bleeds over into our guests as well. So I think guests come in the door, they think family, they see family, they see our employees act like family, and they feel like family here too. So those things are also part of the draw that we'll use to help increase our guest count.
Absolutely. Those are all great points. Now, having been in this business for 6 months, I know from personal experience that you're still going to be heavily involved in the business. No matter how many times you try to not be involved in the business, you're still in it, right? And so, you know, more so you may be working in and working on it, and you're just trying to get this machine to work really well. As you're looking to expand into more stores and you already have a lease signed, so you have something moving forward for next spring, what are you guys hoping your commitment is going to be time-wise to your locations? Are you planning on spending every day inside of your locations, or are you thinking strategically and maybe you're going to take a step back and do other things if you haven't been able to do them yet?
I think we plan on having a presence in the businesses, especially having a second location coming right behind us. But either, you know, myself or Arnie or our daughter, the general manager, or the other two children, just to always have probably somebody in each location every day. And then eventually, hopefully, we'll be able to back out a little, but we still, you know, we're young enough to where we want to work for the next, you know, 10 years. And so this is where we started, and we want to just keep it growing.
I love that.
I think also in that regard, just to kind of expand on that idea, is that we are not, you know, we're not looking at opening a second location and having one of our kids that's at that location and one of our kids that's at this location, and that's your store and that's your store. That's not the way we're looking at this at all. What we look at it as is we're a leadership group between Jenna and I, our three kids, the other leadership that we develop within this company. And now, instead of just having this one store, we now have two stores, and we all have responsibilities between these two stores. And when we open the third, we'll all have responsibilities between those three stores. We're not going to be bound to one store or the other. This is a bigger picture, and we're going to look at it like that because we want this to be a uniform, consistent product and consistent service and consistent message between these three stores. And if we decide to do more than three stores, then we'll make a consistent message for however many we do. But it's a leadership group that is going to, and we'll add people to that as we go, and we're in the process of training people like that right now. But it'll be a group that's leading all three stores, not one person doing one person doing the other. It's going to be one uniform thought process that will all help in the growth of these companies.
Absolutely. What a great thought process. I think that's a great way to look at your business. Though you have, you know, one person or one child for each store, right, or location that you're going to open, you're going to make sure it's a consistent group and a collective group of people, because I think that's a great way to run a business. It gives everyone the opportunity to learn from each other and constantly work on the business, you know, and have different ideas, what's working in one store, put it in another store. So that's great idea and great concept of how you want to keep your business working. Now, you know, you guys have really seen some success with your pie, obviously having purchased three locations, having one already open and getting your second one up and running pretty soon here. What advice would you give to a new franchisee to set them up for success?
Well, first and foremost, patience. I mean, you have to, it's very easy, you know, for us, it was very easy to come in here and expect too much too soon and to expect it to be, hey, we know how to run a business. This is going to roll right off the bat. So the first and foremost is patience. And then, you know, secondly, to me, it's to focus on what's right in front of you, to focus on the fact that the reason people are going to be coming in here is to eat. So the food needs to taste good. And they also come here because they want to be served, and to give them that service that they want and would make them want to come back. So to try to stay focused on the task at hand, the day at hand, the shift at hand, not too big of a picture too early. You know, for us, we really did. I mean, and we spent, Jen and I would spend, you know, 18 hours a day here for the first few months that we were open, because we didn't want to miss 1 hour of operation. You know, we didn't want to miss one single part of operation. And I'm glad we did that, because it really set the tone and set the pace for the people and that work for us to know that we're serious about what we're doing. This is how we want it done. And it set the example for them as to how to move forward themselves. You know, if you want to move forward and you don't want me to be here 18 hours a day minding the store, then you do it for me. And this is how you do it. And this will enable me to take a break away from the store. And these, and to their credit, the people that work for us have bought into that. And it has become easier for us to be gone. But I would say that as a new franchisee, you should be willing to do that right off the bat. You should be willing to stay here as long as you need to stay in your business to make sure that those guidelines are instilled in the people that work for you, and that you get them trained to do things that you want them to do the way you want them done. That won't ever go away. You know, we can't walk away either. But I would tell you, it's easier now than it was when we opened 6 months ago for us to be able to take a shift off and to feel good about that. But initially, I think as a franchisee, you need to be aware that, you need to be dialed into it on a daily basis for as many hours as it takes, and realize that's your life for a little while.
Those are all great pieces of advice. I love the patience one. Don't expect too much too soon. And sometimes that happens with new franchisees. You think you buy a business and by some miracle, you just get to make $1 million in 5 minutes, don't really have to do too much. And we all know, right? It's a lot of long hours. Like you said, it was 18 hours a day for you, you know, for the first couple of months. I had the same experience. I was there from before open to after close, just learning about every single detail of my business to make sure I knew who I needed to bring in, who I needed to retrain, what I needed to tweak, and all those good things. Every business owner does that, that's successful. And so I love that those were your pieces of advice.
You can't take for granted that the people that you're training understand exactly what you're doing. I mean, right down to and the most simple of things, mopping a floor. I mean, I have kids here. We have kids here that worked for us from the beginning, the 16, 17, 18-year-old kids that have never mopped a floor. As simple as that seems, you know, I'd stick a mop in somebody's hand and say, okay, I need you to mop the dining room. And they go, well, what do I do? Yeah, so you take those things for granted. But as an owner, I think that's where patience comes in, you know, where you and certainly other franchises have similar tasks to mopping the dining room that you just can't take for granted that people understand how to do. It was important for me to put them to grab the mop in the mop bucket and to move the tables and to show our staff what it means to mop the dining room. So I think as an owner, you have to recognize that and set that tone from the beginning yourself.
Absolutely. Roll up your sleeves, you know, lead by example. And I think that's probably what leads to success in your team, and your employees see what you're doing. And they know, number one, that you're willing to do it. And number two, that's the expectation, right? If the owner is going to do it, then you better do it, right? That's great.
Absolutely.
Do you guys have any books, classes, or seminars that you would recommend to somebody, you know, maybe looking to get into business, or even something specific to the restaurant business, or just even business in general?
I know there's a lot of books that you can read. I know there's a lot of webinars and seminars that you can do. What we found to be most successful for us was to depend on our corporate franchise for that material. The franchise has it figured out. You know, they have the guidelines that it takes if you work within the system to and follow those systems to be able to be successful. What I would also suggest and highly suggest is in our franchise does have a franchise fest every year, once a year, whereby they do have classes and they do have significant teaching opportunities or learning opportunities that you can attend, and I strongly suggest utilizing your franchise for those things. They're going to be more dialed into it for the specific franchise than anything else. I read a lot, but I've never been a big reader of books in regard to how to run a business. We've run a business for ourselves for 30 years. So it's, you know, I've got a good notion of how to do it, but specifically this franchise and this restaurant has guidelines and does have things in place that you can utilize the franchise for those materials.
That's great. So just to reiterate what you were saying is to use your franchisor and the systems they have in place, the webinars, the classes, the events and the meetings, and go and take all those. I think number one, it's a great opportunity for you to learn directly from the franchisor what their vision is for the business that you bought into, which is really, really important. And like you said, they have it dialed in. They know what needs to be tweaked. They know what their franchisees' weaknesses are. They know what their strengths are. They know where you need to improve. And then I think it's also a great opportunity just to network with other franchisees. You mentioned the Franchise Fest, which I'm assuming you can visit and meet with other franchisees there as well, on top of learning. You know, networking with other franchisees is a great opportunity to learn. I've learned most of my, you know, things that have worked well in my business because I, by no way, shape, or form am I able to think of something genius on my own. I copy almost everything I do in my business, but, you know, I learn from other franchisees and the franchisor when they host these meetings or these events. So great piece of advice. I would also highly suggest the same thing. So that's great. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, and I'll back you up on the franchisee part too. We have met a lot of franchisees, and most of the franchisees that we have met and talked to are more than willing to tell you how they do things, and more than willing to tell you how the things that the corporate office has sent to us can be put in place in their, you know, in the actual workplace and make it work. So I think it's invaluable to be able to have relationships with other franchisees and another huge source of information for us as we've developed what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Here.
Arnie and Jenna, you guys have been in business together for the past, it was 29 years? 29 years. So you've been married 29, in business together for 29. Jenna, I don't know how you survived. Pretty awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Good. I'm so glad. See, I've been in business with my husband for the past, can't even do math, which is not good. I'm in the tax business. I think it's like four-ish years, right? We've been in business together, and it is a pain every day. I want to kill him. But we're still here, so 29 years from now, I'll definitely give you a call and let you know how it's going. But, you know, since getting involved with the franchise, how have you seen your life change? Obviously, this is now a whole family affair. What has it done for your life?
You know, we live this. This is the life we live now. I mean, so truthfully, you know, doing what we're doing now is not what we did before. And certainly your personal life, our personal life, has adapted to our present situation. So as a franchisee now, like we said, we spend an inordinate number of hours of the day actually at the store. And if we're not at the store, we're thinking about the store. You know, we're talking about the store. So, you know, I think that it's changed our lives in as much as that we have had to figure out and had to actually plan on having a personal life away from the store. You know, we've had to actually think through those things. Whereby before we had, you know, we were partnered with other people. We all had our vacation time. We all had our time we could take off and we could disappear from the equation, you know, while our partners took care of things while we weren't there. You know, here our partners are us. And so there is no disappearing. You're not going to disappear. But what we have learned how to do is we've learned how to adapt our personal life to what is now our new career. And those things are things that we're still learning really how to completely manage. So our personal life certainly has changed since we started this endeavor, but it's not changed for the bad. It's just changed in the way that we have to organize ourselves to have that personal life. Jen and I both play a lot of tennis, always have. So we had complete freedom in our previous career, just go play whatever tennis schedule we wanted to play. Well, now we don't really have that ability because if we're playing tennis, we're not here at the store. We're not paying attention to the store. So we've had to learn how to actually set aside those hours and set aside that period of time to go do those things so that you still can have a personal life, because you still have to have a personal life. You still have to have a family life. You still have to have a life away from work to be healthy. So that's how our life has changed most significantly, is the fact that there is no break here. You know, there's no break in what we're doing. It's just it's a forced period of time that you put on yourself to make yourself go do other things other than business.
Absolutely. I think that's so important that business owners, you know, we don't always talk about this, is it's all consuming. We are 100% all in. So, you know, when you get a franchise, especially when you're in business with your spouse, it is business 99.99% of the time, right? Like you barely get any time away. Even if you're away, like you said, you're talking about it, you're thinking about it, you know, you're out for a date night and you're like talking about the business. You're like, wait, weren't we supposed to be on like a date? What happened here? Yeah. And that's okay. And that's the great thing about being in business. You know, you chose to be in this lifestyle, and it is temporary. Well, at least I hope it's temporary. I hope a couple years from now, you know, we all get this ability to take a step back and watch our business, but also have some enjoyment, which is why we all get into business, is for that freedom. So that's pretty cool. Thanks for being so honest about that. I think that's a plight of every new business owner, or just every business owner. And sometimes we don't talk about it too much.
Well, I'll give you one more example of that too, if I could. It's just that our daughter, for instance, our oldest daughter, who's our GM, you know, she is our daughter. And so there are many times where Jenna will come up to me and say, she needs a father moment, not a boss moment. She needs you to be dad. She needs you to be dad right now, not boss. And so I think it's important to be able to think through those things and to be able to understand that there does need to be a human side to what we're doing here, too. It's not all business.
Absolutely. And when it's a family affair, those lines get blurred very easily, right? So, I mean, it's all a learning curve for everybody.
Right.
What are some of the goals you guys are hoping to achieve, you know, in the near future, whether it's business or personal? You know, what are you guys looking forward to?
Probably the first thing is opening a second location, and then just continuing to teach the kids about everything that we're used to looking at on the P&L and with scheduling and labor, and just to keep mentoring not only our children but the other kids that work here too, because they all have an opportunity to go as far as they want to go with us. So that would be the first thing on the horizon, I think.
Yeah, it would be. And I think from a goal standpoint, you know, we want to achieve a financial situation where our kids are comfortable and where our family business, which is the combination of everything that we do, whether it be three locations or four locations or five, whatever it is, if we decide to go off on another avenue, you know, maybe it's that. But whatever we do, it becomes a financial it becomes financially comfortable for our kids to be able to take this and run with it and long after our retirement. So that's kind of setting it up now at the base level like we are right now is so vital to us to, from a health standpoint, to be able to get this business moving in the right direction so that as we add locations and as we add other things and other potential opportunities arise, that we're able to continue to build that financial stability, not only for us but for our kids as well. And for us, that's our retirement. You know, that's our retirement plan. So that's a huge goal for us at this point, is to get this thing to the point where not only it does support our kids and our family and our family's business, but it supports Jenna and I to be able to retire comfortably and to be able to enjoy life while we still are young enough to do the things that we want to do, travel and see family around the country and to do other things away from work.
Absolutely. What a great goal. I think that's a great thing to look forward to, is to set yourself up for financial freedom, which is, you know, everybody's dream, especially a business owner. Arnie and Jenna, thank you so much for your time today in the middle of your craziness. I'm assuming there's like a lunch rush or a pre-dinner rush almost happening over there. But thank you again for taking your time out to share your all this information about your pie. You've definitely shared with our listeners a lot of information about what it's like to open and run a business 6 months in. So it's a great fresh perspective. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it too. Thank you.
If you like what you heard today, don't forget to subscribe. You can visit us at thesmartfranchisee.com. And most importantly, we would love a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Until next time, this is Jessica with The Smart Franchisee.